Here's the latest BBC News. I'm Nick Kelly. The United States says Russia has agreed to resume talks to ensure the two countries' forces don't clash during bombing campaigns over Syria. The announcement came as the US revealed it was overhauling its approach to fighting Islamic State militants in Syria because of what's been seen as the costly failure of its strategy so far. Nick Bryant is in Washington.
Two initial groups of US-trained rebels suffered embarrassing setbacks. The first was rounded up by the al-Nusra Front, while the second surrendered much of its American military equipment to the same extremist group. The administration has thus announced what it's calling a pause. As part of this rethink, the Pentagon will now provide basic military equipment and weapons to a select group of vetted leaders in their units who've had success in fighting Islamic State in places like Kobani. They'll also provide these groups with air support.
The Israeli army says Palestinian militants in Gaza have launched a rocket into southern Israel, hours after Israeli soldiers shot dead six Palestinians on the border. The rocket landed in open ground. On Friday, there were clashes between Israeli security forces and rioting Palestinians. A Hamas spokesman, Mashir al-Masri, said a new intifada or uprising had begun.
The intifada of Jerusalem has begun, and we are not going back. The Zionist enemy is fully responsible and has crossed all the red lines and offended and angered the feelings of our people. The enemy should only blame itself and bear the consequence of its follies.
The United States and five European nations have issued a joint statement urging the rival factions in Libya to agree to proposals to form a unity government. The United Nations has put forward the plan, which must now be considered by the country's two governments. Rain has delayed a huge military display in North Korea, marking the 70th anniversary of the ruling Workers' Party. The parade in the capital Pyongyang will involve tanks, missiles and marching troops. Here's our Korea correspondent, Steve Evans.
This morning, lines of army trucks ferried soldiers into the city centre as the rain cleared. Kim Jong-un was expected to oversee the event, but it wasn't known whether he would address his people and, of course, the outside world. The expectation now is that the display on the streets will not be accompanied by the launch of a long-range missile. If a missile were launched, that would be seen in Washington as a highly provocative act.
Two people have been killed in shootings at universities in the United States, in Arizona and Texas. A student killed a classmate and wounded three others on the campus of Northern Arizona University on Friday. The suspected gunman is in custody. Hours later, one person died and another was wounded in a shooting in Houston. One person has been arrested. World News from the BBC. Fears of another landslide have forced the authorities in Guatemala to move families from an area where more than 250 people died a week ago. Leonardo Rocha has more.
Hopes of finding survivors have been fading for days. The government will decide on Monday whether to suspend the rescue work. Nearly 400 people who lived in the area are unaccounted for. They are presumed dead, buried under tons of soil and rocks that slid off a rain-sodden hillside last Thursday. An investigation has been opened to find out why houses continue to be built in the El Cambray 2 neighborhood, despite repeated warnings from experts that the hill was being eroded by a local river.
Newly released documents from the personal archive of the former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher reveal she was urged to soften her Iron Lady image and display a more caring side. One of her closest advisers, her chief press secretary, Bernard Ingham, wrote her a five-page memo in 1985 in which he said she had gained a reputation for having a hectoring, bossy and dictatorial personality. Mrs. Thatcher's reaction to the memo is not known. And archaeologists in Britain are creating a virtual museum to display the contents of a cave in Yorkshire, which was home to rhinos, bears and elephants more than 100,000 years ago. Victoria Cave was first discovered in 1837 by a man walking his dog. Victoria Gill has more details.
When they excavated, Victorian explorers found objects that revealed the area's ancient history, from skulls of extinct rhinos and elephants to much more recent Romano-British artefacts. Now, with the help of the local farmer who's been looking after that collection for 40 years, archaeologists have made 3D scans of every item and of the cave itself. They'll use these to digitally place each object back in the spot where it was unearthed.
BBC News.